Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Worldview, what you believe, how you view our society, the lens through which you look at reality and life, has a profound effect on law and policy and our everyday activity within our public body compact. We're going to be talking about the importance of worldview and how it affects law and policy on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. You know, Holly, when I talk to young people, whether it's in law school or high school or whatever it is, we talk about, in oftentimes, worldview. And I'll ask the question, how many worldviews are there? And people will inevitably raise their hand and they'll say there's communism, there's socialism. Those are different permutations of worldview. I said, well, really, there's only two worldviews. And they'll think about, what are those two worldviews? Not many people get it on the first question, but as you begin to think about it, you realize there are really only two worldviews. There's lots of different things that we put labels on, kinds of worldviews that are theistic or atheistic. But there is a theistic worldview, assumption that there is a God, and there's an atheistic, a non-theistic worldview, that there is no God. There really is only two ways of looking at life. Either God exists or God does not exist. Those are the two. Now, within those two general categories, there's lots of different kinds of permutations of that. Within, for example, a theistic worldview that God exists, there's different kinds of religious entities or ideas. There's Islam, there's Judaism, there's Christianity. Those are all theistic. They, at the core, believe that there is a God who is a creator. But some of the theology, ultimately, when it comes to certain issues, will come to a different conclusion. There's the atheistic worldview of Charles Darwin, for example, that there is no God, and therefore there is no creator. There is no intelligent divine being who put the universe, and you and I particularly, in motion and created us. It all came through happenstance. Worldview makes a huge difference in our law and policy. In one way, it certainly makes a difference in terms of human dignity. If there is a God, which the founders believed, we are endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights. That's the Declaration of Independence. If there is a God, then he is a creator. And he created us specially. And because he is the creator, he has infused in us the right to life. And therefore, government has to protect that. Government can't just simply eliminate it. Therefore, life in every human being is created in his image, and that gives our dignity to that person. On the other hand, if there is no God and there is an evolutionary model without God, then human beings are no different than anything else. There is, as Charles Darwin stated in his Origin of the Species, the subtitle. Most people just list Origin of the Species, but the subtitle specifically states his view of natural selection and survival of the fittest, of the fittest races. Therefore, human evolution is something that goes on through time. We're going to get better and better by eliminating the weaker people among us. So there is no human dignity that's infused in the actual person within an atheistic worldview.
Right. And embracing that worldview, we essentially think we are our own gods. We are not accountable to the God, but we are our own gods. Right.
Well, yeah. And as an example, obviously, we can think of the abortion case.
Yes.
As a permutation, an outgrowth of a worldview that doesn't posit God as the creator, with every single person having human dignity. But one case that clearly illustrates it as well is the 1927 Buck versus Bell decision. In that case, there was a social Darwinian worldview that was permeating the United States, and it infected academia and law, medicine, all different sciences and the arts. It affected popular and academic journals and publications, not just here in America, but also other parts around the country. And it ultimately reached the United States Supreme Court and Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes in the infamous decision issued in 1927, Buck versus Bell, ruling regarding Carrie Buck. He made this statement, quote, three generations of imbeciles are enough, close quote. He was referring to the fact that the social Darwinian evolutionary non-God worldview construct posited the idea that since we were all part of chance and we have the survival of the fittest in certain races would actually be eliminated and certain weak parts of human manifestation would be eliminated and we would get better and better, that we're actually doing ourselves a disservice by giving antibiotics and medicine to people because we're keeping the weak species of humanity alive and therefore we're hurting our evolutionary progress. And so what they ultimately decided to do is eliminate certain categories of people. Those who had low IQ, women who had children out of wedlock, they were considered promiscuous, and therefore there was some kind of thing that was wrong with them. Therefore, that's why they're having children out of wedlock. People who were poor, those who had epileptic seizures. So if you had an epileptic seizure for any reason, you're part of this list of undesirables. It's not a recent term. We've heard it in the presidential campaigns. But it's not a recent term. It's been around for a while. In fact, Justice Ginsburg at the United States Supreme Court even used the word undesirables. I thought that's what abortion was designed for, to get rid of the, quote, undesirables. That's what Ginsburg said, who's a justice of the United States Supreme Court. So this idea is that, okay, we have this population of people. We want to actually participate in the advancement of human evolution. Therefore, we can accelerate it. So we're going to eliminate certain undesirable categories of people. They're not intrinsically valued. So we're going to put them in homes so they can't procreate until they're past childbearing age. But the problem with that, they found, was it's too expensive. They couldn't build the facilities big enough, fast enough. So now what they wanted to do is find these people and eliminate their ability to procreate by sterilizing them. Carrie Buck was one of those individuals. Her mom allegedly had a low IQ. They had flawed testing capabilities back then. They said she had a low IQ. She didn't. She was only allowed to go to sixth grade because the family she lived with took her out. And then her six-month-old baby. Now, how do you find out that a six-month-old baby has a low IQ? You don't. But they tried to argue that the six-month-old baby had a low IQ. And by the way, she was out of wedlock. Well, the family relative, the reason why they took her out of school, actually raped her. So that's how she had the kid. So she goes to the United States Supreme Court. And Oliver Wendell Holmes said, three generations of imbeciles are enough. Virginia's put up with three generations of your low IQ kind, so it's time to put a stop to it, and therefore you can be forcibly sterilized. That permeated, that came out of a worldview that did not posit God. The human person didn't have dignity. Therefore, we could eliminate certain categories that would be deleterious, that wouldn't benefit the rest of us humans. Blacks were part of these undesirables. Others were part of the undesirables. Planned Parenthood came out of that viewpoint and therefore put contraception clinics, later abortion clinics, into the black communities to eliminate the black population, which she felt were the undesirables among us. They hurt our human evolution, in her view. So worldview makes a huge difference in law and policy. We don't just come up with these laws out of nowhere. I encourage you to think of worldview. Think of the fact that why should something be or not be? How does your worldview, your Judeo-Christian worldview, relate to that? And everybody has a worldview, Holly. Mm. Sometimes we don't think we do. Sometimes our worldviews are disjointed. We have conflicting things because we're not thinking holistically and strategically and clearly. But everyone is operating from a worldview. And it's going to either be one or the other, that there is a God who created us with intrinsic value, or there is no God, and therefore we have evolved without some kind of divine being. There's lots of permutations how those happen in each one of those, but those are the two categories, and we have to make a decision which one we're going to follow.
Right, and I think, you know, the key is to embrace and understand the love that God has for each person, the reason he sent Jesus to die for each person, no matter what, so that you could understand, you could have a relationship with him. And as a result, every action, every thought that I make, I'm accountable to him for that. And I want to please him because he loves me so much.
And that actually crystallizes the Judeo-Christian worldview,
right,
to distinguish that theistic worldview from an Islamic worldview. Mm-hmm. They both are theistic, but Judeo-Christian worldview, particularly Christian worldview, posits exactly what you said. And that also has a different ultimate result. And I think, you know, we are living at a time where the church is coming under a greater stress from these secularist and, frankly, in some cases, satanic forces. And now is the time for the church to rise up. You know, the founders ultimately said that religion and morality were the twin pillars of America, and if we work to undermine those, America will tumble. They're speaking of Christianity and moral convictions that come from Judeo-Christian teachings. I encourage you to take this time as we move forward as a nation to immerse yourself into the scriptures and to the God who ultimately created you, died for you, and loved you. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.